Security Ledger podcasts reach an audience of thousands of information technology and information security professionals. Okay, if that's an audience that you'd like to reach, think about becoming a Security Ledger podcast sponsor. To find out more about sponsoring our podcast, point your web browser to securityledger.com/sales. This is Security Ledger Podcast, and I'm Paul Roberts, Editor-in-Chief at the Security Ledger. In this week's episode of the podcast, number 174, we're back from a hiatus to talk about healthcare security. Caring for sick patients in a hospital is as much about mastering technologies these days as it is about mastering biology, physiology, and chemistry. The modern hospital room is a forest of beeping, blinking computer hardware that does everything from measuring patient vital signs to administering medication or life-saving treatments. All that hardware and software is prone to cybersecurity vulnerabilities, however. And cyber risk is a growing concern for providers. Witness the warning issued by the Department of Homeland Security on January 23rd about a slew of vulnerabilities and products by the healthcare giant GE. DHS's ICS cert warned that a collection of 6 cybersecurity vulnerabilities discovered in a range of GE healthcare devices could allow an attacker to make changes at the software level of the device that could render the device unusable, interfere with its proper functioning, or expose patient health information, or all of the above. The vulnerabilities, collectively referred to as MDHEX, were discovered by the firm CyberMDX. 5 of the vulnerabilities discovered by CyberMDX were given a CVSS score of 10 on a scale of 1 to 10, while the remaining vulnerability scored an 8.5. In this episode of the podcast, we invited Elad Luz, the head of research at CyberMDX, into the studio to talk about the security holes he and his team discovered. Luz and CyberMDX discovered the flaws, reported them to GE, and then worked with the company and DHS on a coordinated disclosure of the vulnerabilities. In this conversation, Elad and I talk about the flaws he and CyberMDX discovered and some of the challenges facing healthcare organizations as they try to secure medical hardware and software deployed in clinical settings.
So my name is Elad, and I'm the head of research at CyberMDX.
And Elad, for our listeners who aren't familiar with CyberMDX, could you give us just an idea of what the company does?
So CyberMDX does cybersecurity for healthcare institutes. So we have a solution that is deployed on hospitals, and it's monitoring the network traffic, analyzing the protocols, and make sure that everything is secured. We're mainly focused on medical devices. So this is our expertise. And specifically me, I'm looking into more of network protocols of medical devices.
Yeah, and we're talking to you because CyberMDX was the company that discovered a group of vulnerabilities affecting different GE healthcare products. Could you tell us a little bit about what you discovered and what products were affected by that?
So we've discovered 6 vulnerabilities. Most of them result in remote code execution. The medical devices are in the CareScape family. That family of devices belongs to patient monitoring. So you would find 3 of them are actual patient monitors. Others are either workstation devices, and they let you either manage a group of monitors, perhaps on a specific department. They let you monitor all the monitors, and other devices are perhaps servers that allow those monitors to tunnel the data into databases in the hospital. So in total, I think there's 7 devices.
GE, obviously a pretty big supplier of medical hardware and software to hospitals. Talk just a little bit about what the sort of security implications of these vulnerabilities are. In other words, for healthcare organizations, clinical organizations that might have this hardware and software deployed, what risks do these vulnerabilities create?
Yeah, so as I said, most of them can result in remote code execution, which is caused by hard-coded credentials or lack of authentication. Once those credentials are obtained, then they are relevant for the entire product line. Okay. So, and by the way, again, it's hard-coded credentials, not default credentials. It means that the software is looking for specific credentials and they will work globally. So remote code execution means that you can access data, alter it, change the functionality of those devices that mentioned. And then things like setting the patient monitor's alarm limits or admitting or discharging patients can be done. Setting date and time, all sorts of things like that. Regarding specifically patient harm, my mother wanted me to become a physician, but the way things turned out, I'm just a cybersecurity researcher. So I shouldn't be talking about patient harm. But anyway, I believe you can get the idea of the potential damage to those devices.
This is what it's all about, isn't it, really, a lot? It's about your mom wanting you to become a doctor.
Exactly.
It's not about the security of medical devices.
It's totally upside down MDX.
And you discovered these when you were auditing sort of a web-based component of this software. Is that right? The sort of configuration client or a management tool?
The lead we got for this research actually came from a couple of our deployments, and our solution there notified us about both open management ports, which if I recall were the SSH one mm-hmm. and the SMB one, and mm-hmm. also a deprecated version of Webmin. Webmin mm-hmm. is a web-based management for stations, and it's pretty popular. It has all sorts of plugins and extensions. And so it's really legit to embed that into your product. Anyway, that version was deprecated and it had vulnerabilities. So one of them was arbitrary read. So you could actually, without any login or credentials to that web interface, you could have arbitrary read to any file on the device. And specifically speaking, you may also perhaps read the credentials for Webmin. Then maybe later you would log into that and then do some more serious damage. So we've noticed that from a couple of our deployments, and that led to a deeper investigation. And the next thing we noticed was just by reading public manuals that were available online for those devices, we noticed the hard-coded credentials for some of the services. And that made us decide that we should have like a deeper look, which then later revealed the MDHEX vulnerabilities.
The hard-coded credentials were part of the user documentation or the administrator?
Yeah. So there was also VNC and SMB. So I think both VNC and SMB credentials were out there in the product manual.
Wow. So, I mean, I guess obviously I've done a lot of podcasts and talked to a lot of people about these types of issues. You know, hard-coded credentials are one of those dirty secrets, and especially in the embedded device space, you know, whether it's healthcare or energy or other critical infrastructure, seems like there's a lot of legacy hardware and software out there with hard-coded credentials. And of course, they're dangerous because they're hard-coded and they're the same everywhere. When you reach out to GE about this, were they aware of these vulnerabilities? And what was their response to them?
I would guess they originally did not treat those as vulnerabilities. Those devices should reside, according to the documentation by GE, in an isolated network. Perhaps the word isolated is not accurate here, because when you connect a monitor to the network, you want something. So you want something from the network, which is you want to transfer that data further into the hospital's database, or you want to remotely manage it, and so on. So to do that, you need to have them in a separate network, which is routed through a firewall. And I guess they were they would like to think that all customers deploy it in a very safe way, and firewalls rules are properly enforced inside that network and outside of it.
So the basic response is we're aware of these. And of course, you know, in order to exploit these vulnerabilities, as you Cyber MDX pointed out, you would need to be within the environment that these devices were deployed in. These are not internet accessible or remotely executable via the public internet, unless these vulnerable systems were exposed to the public internet, right?
Yes, but first thing is that this network is routable to the hospital's network. And second thing is, usually a hospital network will be accessible to the, or will have access to the internet. Think of all the medical staff that uses emails, that uses internet browsers. Think of patients coming with media, with imaging and radiology studies, and putting that into the hospital's archive. There are lots of examples. Think of vendors remotely connecting to the hospital for maintenance. And so those things happen constantly all the time. And actually, hospitals are pretty much accessible to anyone. So anyone can, I mean, is permitted to access a hospital and most of its rooms, I guess. Whereas in banks or other offices, it's not always the case.
And we should say Department of Homeland Security rated these, I think almost all of these were rated 10 out of 10 in terms of vulnerability. This is the cyber CISA. Are there patches or fixes available from GE for these products, CareScape, Apex Pro, and so on?
So there will be patches later on this year. We're expecting them like in a few months from now. And this is a good thing, actually, because on previous disclosures, my answer was that there wouldn't be future patches for those vulnerabilities. So I would like to think that there is a progress.
Obviously, hospitals tend to hold on to hardware and software for a lot longer than your average like corporate enterprise. So their refresh cycles might be a decade or more. And for diagnostic equipment, it might be many decades. Are these, should we look at these software and say, oh, well, these are all kind of outdated, old, you know, software and hardware from GE, and, you know, we shouldn't be surprised that they have vulnerabilities? Or is this fairly recent products or products that are still being, you know, marketed and sold?
So as a manufacturer, I believe that if your software uses third-party software, from the first moment that you've decided to use that software, you should start monitoring if that software has any vulnerabilities. And if so, you should supply updates. So that's not only missing in the healthcare industry. I think it's very common for most IoTs. But as you said, in the healthcare, there is longer cycles of lifetimes of devices.
And are these products in particular, are these older products? Are they fairly you know, up-to-date products? What do we know about the products that, where you found these vulnerabilities?
So all of those products are still sold. And the latest ones, the Martel specifically, are the newest ones, but the other ones are quite old. I think they may be even more than a decade.
You bring up a good point, which is the use of third-party components, whether those are proprietary, closed source, or open source. Obviously, this is incredibly common across industries, and you know you know, speeds up development of products for sure, but it also introduces new avenues for vulnerability and exposure. Do you see Cyber MDX? Is this pretty common that you find vulnerable or deprecated open source components or even proprietary software that are bundled in with these types of medical and diagnostic products?
Yes, definitely. Take, for example, workstations or servers that have web servers like IIS or perhaps SSH servers or clients. So products have them. And yeah, we often see outdated versions of those components.
So these are all the types of problems you're listing are all pretty, I mean, common, but also you know, not particularly subtle security problems, you know, hard-coded credentials, unprotected credentials, input validation problems. These are kind of, this is like application security 101 stuff, some of it. And you said that the patch from the vendor from GE is going to be a few months coming. What should healthcare organizations that have these products deployed do in the meantime to mitigate these vulnerabilities?
The first thing I would do after making sure that they have those specific products is find out how they are deployed. So some hospitals may deploy them as part of the hospital network, and that's not recommended. Other hospitals may have them on separate networks that are routed with no firewall. That's also not recommended. So I would refer to the GE manual of how to properly deploy those devices.
Which is, I hear this a lot in these, when companies like CyberMDX find vulnerabilities in these types of products, whether again, it's healthcare or critical infrastructure or what have you, the answer often is, well, I mean, you know, we tell our customers to only deploy it in this particular way that's, you know, highly segregated and, you know, therefore these shouldn't be an issue because, you know, unauthorized persons shouldn't be able to get on this network segment or be in this environment to exploit these holes. I guess what's your, my thinking on that is, well, it also could work that you just design your product more securely so that even if they, you know, that it's secure, even given your least responsible, least, you know, capable customer, you know, that you should be designing kind of with that customer in mind, not the person who's going to do everything right. So what is CyberMDX's kind of take on that? And what would you advise, you know, health equipment OEMs about that type, you know, these types of vulnerabilities and what their responsibilities are?
So you would find that there's a huge difference between what vendors recommend on, or how they recommend on deploying their systems and what actually happens. But that's all right. And we usually take the worst case. So when the vulnerabilities for Microsoft Windows or any browser, you wouldn't say, well, I have a home firewall. So since I have a firewall, those vulnerabilities do not pose a risk.
Yeah, I'm not going to worry about this patch, right?
Yeah, right. So that's obviously not the case. And I think it's expressed in the CVSS specification. So when you do a responsible disclosure, you evaluate the scoring, those that we spoke about, and it talks about two relevant things for your question. One is it asks to consider the worst case scenario. So you could say, well, I think most of my customers are deployed that way and perhaps mm-hmm. only a few in another way. But for evaluating the score, you would have to take the worst case. So that's the first thing. And the second one, I think it explicitly says to ignore firewalls.
Mm-hmm. So pretend like they're not there.
Yeah. Pretend like, because I would guess they are a common factor that vendors would like to trust on, but are commonly not well utilized by customers.
You're only as strong as your, you know, weakest firewall rule, I guess.
Yeah, I would say so. So during the disclosure, there was a decision by GE to ship letters to their customers, letting them know that there was an issue, a cybersecurity issue with one or more of those products. I've never seen that happen. Usually responsible disclosures are pretty discreet.
Yeah. It's like the support site or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is more typical, I guess, for a recall process where sharing information does not pose risk. Yeah. But eventually I think the awareness and use came out with the disclosure itself. So that's one interesting thing that happened during the disclosure. Perhaps another, MITRE has released a CVSS specification designed specifically for medical devices. It guides you through the scoring and evaluation with real-world examples. And it's still an early draft, but I really appreciate their initiative. They put a lot of efforts to make this process more straightforward.
And those take into account the potential for example, physical harm or harm to patients.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that was one of the criticisms of the existing CVSS, Common Vulnerability Scoring System, is that, you know, it kind of presupposes that these are all just basically IT systems deployed on an enterprise network or something like that. They tend not to weigh cyber physical consequences. That hasn't traditionally been part of CVSS scoring. So yeah, that is interesting that MITRE is going forward with a parallel scoring system for health devices. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely encouraging.
Elad, thank you so much for coming on and speaking to us on Security Ledger Podcast. It was great having you in.
Thank you for having me, Paul.
And congratulations and thank you for the great research you did on these GE products.
Thanks.
Elad Luz is the head of research at CyberMDX. He was here talking to us about MDHEX, a group of security flaws discovered in GE's CareScape products.